Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I don't know about you, a good Christmas sounds good to me. And so if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open the Word of God with me this morning. In fact, give me a wave if you got your physical Bible in the house of God. Wave it in the air like you just don't care. Let's go, the physical Bible, the Bible revival, I like to call it. If you've got your Bible on your phone, wave your phone in the air and just repent. No, I'm kidding. It totally counts. It's all good. I honestly read from my phone most days. So I want to go to the book of John. Someone say John. I want you to go to the book of John, chapter number 2. I want to read a small passage of scripture about Jesus' first ever miracle. Well, they say it's his first miracle. I reckon Jesus being born from a virgin was the first miracle. I don't know who counts these, but some Bible scholars say this is the first one. So we'll go with that. John chapter 2, verse number 1. If you don't have your Bible, it's on the screen behind me. It says this, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him they have no more wine. Verse number 4, "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. Now, I just want to insert a little pause moment here and just clarify, unless you are the Son of God, probably not a good idea to refer to your mom as woman. I don't know what house you grow up in, but in my home, that probably wouldn't fly. And all the mums said, amen. Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Now fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. Verse number 9. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you," someone say you "have kept the best until now." Can we give God a big clap of praise for this word this morning? We're so grateful, God. The title of my sermon today, and the thing I feel impressed in my heart to speak to you about, is simply this: do whatever he tells you. These are the last recorded words of the mother of Jesus, Mary, in our scripture, and I believe there's a great prophetic significance on them for us today. That if you and I can just get this revelation in our heart to resolve, no matter what it is, no matter how it comes, if God says it, I'm going to do it. I believe we would see God do mighty miracles in our life. I believe we would see the normal, the water, the mundane parts of our life become something supernatural, become spiritual, become wine in our hands. Not because we're special, but because we learn the secret of the servants to simply do whatever he tells us to do. One last time, we just close your eyes all across this place. Precious Lord, I ask, would you stir us to be obedient to your voice? Open up ears to hear your voice. Even I ask, Holy Spirit, place in us a yearning to hear your voice, a yearning to listen, Lord God. And I pray this Christmas season would be marked by moments of prompting from the Lord, and there would be followed up by a quick obedience on our part to do whatever you tell us to do. God, bless this congregation today. Bless these people in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, let's give God one more clap of praise. Amen. We love you so much. Thank you so much, bro. I mean, can we get up for the worship team as well? Wasn't that just a great, great time worshiping the Lord? Thank you so much. Do whatever he tells you. You know, we have at Nations Church some culture statements which kind of define not just who we are, but also who we want to be as well. We've got 8 culture statements, and they talk about, you know, we're about other people, you know, we're about encountering Jesus, we're about serving Jesus in his church. But there's one culture statement that we really lean into at this time of the year, Christmas, and it's simply this. If we put it on the screen, it says, we are about reaching those far from God. How many of you are glad you're a part of a church that cares? There are people outside of this building today that need to know the love of God, that need to know the grace of Jesus. I believe your neighbors, your community, people you work alongside, people you drop your kids at the school all the people there, they need to know the love of God too. And we're not just about having a great Christian experience until we go to heaven. We are about reaching those far from God. We actually desire to see more people come into a personal relationship with Jesus. In fact, who in this place wants to see more people come into a personal relationship with Jesus? Give me a wave if Jesus has changed your life. How many of you know when your life is changed, you want someone else to experience what you've experienced? I don't know if you've ever had like a really good meal and it's like, man, this thing is good. My first thought is I got to get someone else to try this thing because this thing is incredible. I believe it's the same with our relationship with God. When you encounter Him, when you experience the grace that forgives you of all of your sin, when you realize that that thing that keeps you up at night, that keeps you bound in shame, Jesus died to set you free of, you can't help but want someone else to experience that freedom, someone else to experience that grace. And, you know, even just looking at the room then, I think we can all agree, we all want more people to know Jesus. Amen. I don't think it's necessarily a question of should more people get to know Jesus? Should more people get saved from hell? I think we are all 100% yes, that's a good idea. I think the question that's probably more in key is how do we reach people far from God? Because how many of you know there's many ways to do something? And I have found in my own experience that there are some ways that I found to reach people far from God that have been probably easier, and maybe some ways that I've gone about it that maybe didn't produce the most fruit. Has anyone ever been there before? I remember this one time I was at Cottesloe Beach and it was on my day off, and I'd gone through for a little while now without kind of sharing my faith. I was just kind of having one of those seasons. Have you ever been there? You know, you haven't really invited someone to church, you haven't really told someone you're a Christian. You're still a Christian, but it's almost like your faith was private for a season. And I was like, you know, I'm gonna get out of the boat. I'm gonna rally myself up. I'm gonna go share Jesus with someone today. So I'm, you know, beating my chest, kind of getting myself all worked up. And I see this gentleman walking along and I was like, there he is, there's my guy. And so I beeline it for this guy. And in my plan is I'm going to go over, I'm going to say, hey, bro, God loves you. He's going to go, that's amazing. I needed to hear that today. That's a sign. And he's going to give his life to God. It's going to be awesome, you know? And so I'm on my way over. And the only problem is I forgot that it was the middle of winter. And so I had a rain jacket on, but it wasn't just any rain jacket. It was like this Nike windbreaker, kind of zipped all the way up to the top. And I didn't want to get my hair wet, so I had the hood on too. And so in my mind, I was like this lovely Christian guy, and he's like, here comes someone out of Top Boy coming to have a conversation. And so I'm on my way over to him, and I'll never forget, I was like, hey, bro, I was about, you know, 5 meters away, and he turns over, and literally he goes, oh, no, 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 no. And I was like, oh no, he's mistaken the situation. I need to explain. I'm not here to hurt him. I'm here to tell him about God. And so I was like, hey, and I start running after him. And so he's running away. I'm running after him. The only problem is at Cottesloe, there's like these grass slopes and they're probably not the most even of grounds. And so as he's running, his foot trips and he falls on the ground. And so he's lying there and I'm now like running right over to him. And I'll never forget getting all the way over and he looks up at me and I look down at him and he's got this look of fear in his eye. And I'll never forget his last no. And I looked down and said, hey, bro, God loves you. He looked up at me and was like, okay. So I have a great day. He's like, okay. And then I left and that was my moment in evangelizing for God. Now, how do you know sometimes it doesn't go to plan? And I'm not saying that was a bad moment or a bad experience. In fact, I'm a big believer that when God prompts it on your heart to tell someone Jesus loves them, even if you don't know them, even if you're at a checkout, even if there's a big line of people behind you, it's always the best idea to obey the voice of God and not let fear lead your lives. But I have discovered that when it comes to the effectiveness of reaching those far from God, the most effective conversations I've had with sharing my faith, with telling people about Jesus, are the ones where I listened to what God wanted me to do, and then I simply obeyed whatever I felt Him say. See, we can come up with many plans, we can come up with many strategies, but the best thing you and I believe we can learn to do is learn to listen and then simply obey when God speaks. You know, I look at this passage of scripture of the water turning into wine, and I don't know if you know, but the reason the water turned into wine isn't because it was special wine jars. It wasn't because it was the best water in all of Israel. It wasn't because it was seven jars and not six. And if they had six jars, not seven, then it wouldn't have worked because it's only seven jars. You know, what we love to do is we love to look at something where God moved and we try to, you know, go through it and figure out what's the formula here. How can I cut, copy, paste this into my day? Maybe if I can just fill up jars every day, I'll have an infinite supply of water or water or wine. I want to encourage you. The reason that water turned into wine in this passage wasn't because of the special water, wasn't because of special servants, wasn't because of special jars. It was because of this one key found in John chapter 2, verse number 5, where his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. The moment that word was released, creative power went out that allowed that water, that normal water, to turn into something supernatural, to become wine in their hand. And for you and I, what is going to cause people in our world to come to a relationship with Jesus isn't our smart understanding. It's not our special efforts. It's the same key of verse 5 of John chapter 2, that if you can just do what he tells you to do, you'll be surprised at the water he turns into wine in your life. Can you say amen? And so on this whole idea of doing whatever he tells you, I just want to give you three keys around obedience that my prayers would encourage you, would stir you, and really help you so that this Christmas time, when you're sitting at your family Christmas table and you've got that cousin next to you that you speak to three times a year, or maybe that mother-in-law across the table that you can't wait to kind of get to the next family event from, you know, when you're in that situation and the Holy Spirit prompts on your heart, hey, ask them how's their year been, how's work been, ask them, hey, have they been going to church recently? When that moment happens, my prayer is that we would have the willingness to obey the voice of God and watch God do the miracle in our hands. Amen? So if you're taking notes today, first key to obedience, I want to encourage you to write down is this: obedience can feel random. John chapter 2 verse 6 says, standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars have been filled, he said, now dip some out. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but Jesus, I suppose, God has done a lot of miracles in the Bible, right? Yeah. Like, he cracked open a rock in the Old Testament and water came out. Yeah. Like, there was a million people that needed feeding every single day for 40 years. And so they would wake up and every day there was fresh bread on the morning. And then there was quail in the evening. And so God can do miraculous things. There was a widow that needed money. And so God got a little bit of oil and poured out, and that oil multiplied. You know, God is in no short of supply of miraculous power. And so my thought is, man, surely there was an easier way to get wine. Like, why did Jesus not just be like, oh, you need wine? No worries. Ta-da! You know, like coming out like Spider-Man, you know, shooting everywhere. Like, he could have done that. But for some reason, it's almost like he takes a detour and it takes a little bit longer and it takes a little bit. Like, this wasn't a day where there was water corporation and there wasn't, you know, great plumbing systems. And so even to fill the jars with water, they got to go to the well that's in the village. They've got to go out of the house. They got to go. And not only that, it's a stone water jar. And so this thing's heavy. They didn't have nice plastic cups. They had water stone jars. And so these servants had to carry these big heavy jars backwards and forwards to the well and back and fill it all the way. Not only when they get to the jar, they got to then get a bucket and go multiple times. How many of you know this is a lot of work? And I just think, Jesus, you could have made it easier on the servants. And sometimes I think we can run into a problem where we think if it's God, it will make sense. But how many of you know oftentimes the voice of the Holy Spirit can sound very random to you and me? We might be like, God, we need wine. And the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, go fill the jars with water. You might be like, God, I want to share my faith. And he's like, yeah, just buy them lunch first. And it's like, what do you mean? And sometimes our obedience can be stifled if we think that it's going to make sense all the time. But I want to encourage you, just because it's random doesn't mean God isn't in it. Can I share a quick story? Is that okay? A few weeks ago, I was having a day off and I was praying in the morning. And actually, pause that story, backdrop to this story. Okay, so a few years ago, before the few weeks ago, I was working at church in Myrie, and this was in our old building, and I had a buddy that worked in Bunnings, and it's very similar to here. You got Bunnings and church right back and back. And so during pack down, I would often sneak out and not serve, and I'd go and chat to him, and I said I was witnessing, you know? And so my youth pastor didn't tell me off. And so I'd go talk to him and, you know, just ask about life. He wasn't a Christian. In fact, most of the conversations we had, he'd probably mock me for my faith. And, you know, I'd try to bring it up, and I'd be like, hey, bro, you should come to church. He'd be like, nah, bro, that's not for me. That's you. That's your thing. That's all good. But he was always a little bit curious, and we would chat over the years, and we had some good conversations, but nothing kind of substantial. It was just kind of, you know, how are you? Yeah, all good. And we had this relationship, but then we moved location from church to from Myrie in Hayden Court to Playall Street. He moved out of Bunnings, and I just, apart from seeing him around the area maybe once a year, I didn't really have any relationship with him. Anyways, that's the backdrop. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago, and I was having a day off, and I was in the morning, and I was in prayer, and I just kind of woke up, and I was praying on my bed, and I just had this, I was asking God, go, like, what should I do today? How should I spend time with you today, Lord? And I had this idea, this picture popped into my mind of going to King's Park and hiring like an electric scooter and going for a ride into the city. How do you know that's a pretty random idea? And I was like, okay, like maybe, if I'm honest, I didn't really want to. Like my idea of a good day off is like, let's stay home. Like let's not go out, let's watch this movie, let's chill out. And so I was like, God, I don't even know if this is you. And but in my vision, I call it a vision. It's really, for me, visions are like holy imaginations. And so it's like an idea in your head. It was gray skies and a bit cloudy. And so I look out the window and it's gray skies and cloudy. I was like, okay, maybe. And so I was like, all right, let's go. So I went there, I hired the scooter, and then I'm riding through the city, and I was riding from King's Park down into the city, and as I was riding along, I got to the spot where I used to go skateboarding as a kid, and I was like, oh, I wonder if that spot's still there. So I pulled in, and as I pulled in there, you wouldn't believe who's standing there, just finished up a phone call on his phone, was my buddy from Bunnings Warehouse a few years ago. And he gets off the phone, he looks up at me, and he goes, no. There's no way you're here right now. And I was like, what? Like, and he begins to tell me that he's been on a journey for like the last 6 months where he's actually been praying and been crying out, saying, God, if you're real, I want a sign. I want you to show me, and trying to have a relationship with God. And then he says, and now you're standing here before me. You, of all people, are standing right here. And I was like, bro, I think this is God right now, because I was at home. I didn't even want to be here, but here I am. And you know what was wild about it is he's there in his nice tailored business suit because he works in corporate. And there I am with my purple helmet on and my electric scooter and my French football top. You know, I felt very out of place, but we got to have a great conversation with him. And I was like, hey, bro, I feel like this is a sign and God's really encouraging you. He tells me he's been reading his Bible. He's been listening to Billy Graham sermons, that God's been just working on his heart. And I was like, hey, would it be okay? Could I pray for you? And he's like, oh, nah, maybe in your own time. I was like, come on, bro, let's just pray now. We'll keep our eyes open. No one will know. They'll just think we're talking. And he was like, okay. So we prayed together. Had a great moment, and I walked away from that instance being like, man, even though the thought I had in the morning was random, it didn't mean it wasn't God. So sometimes your wildest moments in God will come in seed form thoughts of randomness. But I want to encourage you today to consider, just because it feels random doesn't mean God isn't in it. Just because you might think there's a quicker way in your mind doesn't mean it isn't God telling you to fill the jars. I want to encourage you, obedience, though it can feel random, it doesn't mean it doesn't have the signature of God on it. Can you say amen? So point number one today is simply this: obedience can feel random. Maybe for you, you know, a lot of us, we're going to take time off work, but maybe when you are at work, it's like, hey, just go talk to that person in your office, or go wait by the water cooler. Or actually, maybe it's for you inviting a neighbor to Christmas Eve services coming up on Tuesday. Maybe it's literally knocking on your neighbor's house who you have a relationship with and just having a conversation with them and seeing where it goes. Maybe it's praying for a coworker. Maybe it's actually inviting a family member. Maybe it's initiating grace at the dinner table. And that's a step. Maybe that feels random. It's like, they're atheist, God. Why do you want me to do that? It might feel random, but God might be in it too. I want to encourage you, don't dismiss obedience just because it feels random. It says in verse number 8, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servant followed his instructions. I feel bad for these servants, not just because they had to do hard work, but this would have been a terrifying moment, you know. Have you ever, I mean, this was a day and age where they didn't have the same justice systems that we have today. Like, think about this. John the Baptist got beheaded in jail because a girl did a dance that the king liked and was like, yeah, no worries, there you go. Like, no trial, just that was it. And so here's this servant who's being asked to take over a cup to the master of the master of the ceremonies, like, and it's a cup of water in his hand. And so I don't know about you, I'd be terrified of this if I was this guy. He's looking down and be like, man, what's going to happen? Is this his last day of life? You know, is he about to go to jail? Is he about to show great disrespect? I mean, if think about this, how much shame it brought to them to run out of wine, let alone serving a glass of water in place of wine. And so this servant must be trembling, he must be afraid. And all of that to say, not only can obedience feel random, but number two, obedience can be uncomfortable. Have you ever, I don't know if you followed Jesus for any length of time, but you might have realized by now that God's idea of your comfort zone and your idea of your comfort zone are two different ideas. You're like, I'm introverted, I like my Wednesdays off, and I want to stay inside. And God's like, you know, ready to follow my voice, you know. But I want to encourage you, just because it feels uncomfortable, don't dismiss it, because God might be in it. In fact, so many of us, I think we're waiting for the feelings of discomfort to go away before we obey God. And I just believe God wants more servants that are willing to obey him in the uncomfort, who are willing to obey him in the fear. Sometimes you don't need fear to leave before you obey God. Sometimes it's actually okay just to obey God scared and trust him with the outcome. You know, I remember I was working, I used to work at the Apple store years ago, and a girl came in, a colleague of mine, and she's got a bandage on her arm. She went out drinking the night before and it was really in pain. And I just felt in my heart like I really need to pray for her. Have you ever had a moment like that? And it's like, I wish I didn't feel this way, but I do. And I've got her there. I've got my manager there, my assistant manager there. That none of them are Christians. I'm like, this is so uncomfortable. And so I mustered up all the faith that I had, and I went on my break instead. And so as I was on my way to the break, I was like, you know what, God, I'd rather obey you now than apologize later for having disobeyed later. And so I turned around, I walked back, and you wouldn't believe who's standing at the back, this girl. And I was like, okay, here we go. I'm going to step out in faith. And so have you ever noticed when you try to step out in faith, your ability to communicate goes terribly? It's like normally you're quite punctual and eloquent, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know, like, how's that elbow going? You know, like, it feels awkward, feels uncomfortable. And she's like, she was really sweet about it. She was like, oh yeah, you know, it's in pain, but it's okay. And I was like terrified, like, would it be okay? I'm a Christian. I believe God heals. Could I pray for you? And she was like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I was like, oh, I was really shocked, you know? And so she was like, what do I need to do? And I was like, it's a great question. Well, you stand there. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder and we're going to pray. She's like, okay. You know, I was just scared, like all over the place. It was like she was leading me through the prayer. Like, and so I prayed for her, prayed a simple prayer about God healing her elbow and would flexibility and mobility come back. God, I pray for a miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. And she's like, amen. And then she drops her arm by her side. And I'll never forget, this look of shock just runs across her face. And she looks at me and she's like, holy beep. And I was like looking at her and I was like, oh my. And I'd never really seen a miracle outside of church before. And so I was like, holy beep. No, I wasn't. But in my mind, I was very shocked, if I'm totally transparent. I was like, this is wild. And she begins to cry because she just swore and she feels bad about it. She's like, oh my gosh, it feels so much better. And I was like, oh, it's happening. Is that? And in my heart, I'm like, this is crazy. This is wild. Outwardly, I was like, this type of thing happens all the time, you know? Just trying to pretend I know what's going on. And so I was like, hey, you know, very clumsily was like, hey, this is a sign and a wonder. And signs point places. And so this is pointing you to the reality that God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, God, yeah, have a good day. And then I walked off, you know. And honestly, that was about the gist of the conversation. And I realized in that moment that the reason her elbow got healed isn't because I was a wild healing evangelist or because I was something special. I believe it was because of John chapter 2, verse 5, where Mary told the servants, just do whatever he tells you to do. I want to encourage you. Sometimes God will tell you to do something and it feels uncomfortable. Sometimes God will tell you to do something and it feels random. But if you can just resolve in your heart, I'm just going to do whatever he tells me to do, watch God. God bring the miraculous in you. Give yourself the capacity that no matter how random or how terrifying it feels, if He says it, I will do it. Maybe you've never prayed for a healing outside of church before. I want to encourage you. If the Holy Spirit says, hey, pray for that person, why don't you just do whatever He tells you? Maybe you've never shared your personal testimony of how Jesus saved you from mental health, or maybe how Jesus healed you or worked out that situation or that divorce and how God's working it together for good. Maybe you've kept that private, but this Christmas season, there comes an opportunity with a family member or a friend. I want to encourage you in that moment, even if it's uncomfortable, you don't need to produce it yourself, but if He tells you, if He prompts you, just do whatever He tells you. So much would happen in our lives if we could just simply resolve that we would do whatever He tells us to do. So point number one, obedience can feel random. Point number two, obedience can be uncomfortable. And point number three, and I'd love to invite the worship team to come join me, is obedience brings breakthrough. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. For the servant, you know, I wonder when the water turned into wine. Here he is carrying over this cup of water to the master like, I am about to go to jail. This is my last day. Gives it over. Knowing God, it was probably right at the last moment. The master takes this cup and drinks it. And in that moment, the Bible just says the water turns into wine. The water that was now wine. The Bible doesn't actually tell us when the water turns into wine. And I actually believe there's a bit of genius in that, because water turning into wine is never your job nor my job. We actually have no control over it. We can pray for people, but we can't heal. That's what God does. We can share our faith, but we can't convict anyone. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We can share about Jesus, but someone understanding that, we do not have the capacity to actually give that understanding. That's what God does. You and I are not the water into wine makers. We are the servants that simply do what He tells us to do. And whether it's filling up the jars, whether it's carrying the cup over to the master, when you choose to obey, when you choose to simply do whatever He tells you to do, Jesus gets all the glory, because He is the one that turns the water into wine. You know, God turns water into wine, and our job is to simply do whatever He tells us to do. You know, the lepers got healed when they went. Jesus said, you know, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. I think when God speaks, power is available, but power is only released when we obey. Pool of Siloam, Jesus spits in the ground, makes mud, and puts it in a blind person's eye. And is like, hey, go wash in a pool called Siloam. And the Bible says he went, he washed, and as he did, when he washed, he could see. It wasn't that the mud or the water was special. What was special is he obeyed the voice of the Lord. When God gives a commandment, there is power accessible, but it's on pause until you obey. How many of you know if that blind person decided, that's too hard, I can't see, I don't know how to get there, and he just went home, he would not only just be blind, he'd be blind with mud in his eyes. But because he obeyed God, now he got miraculous sight. I want to encourage you, the best way we can be effective for Jesus in this Christmas season is to resolve in our heart, no matter how random, no matter how uncomfortable, I'm just going to do whatever he tells me to do, and he's going to bring the miracle in my life. And so, I guess this begs the question, how do we do whatever he tells us to do? Well, in order to do what he tells you, you actually need to live a life close enough to hear him speak. This whole message of obedience is hinged on the reality that you know how to hear God. And the truth is this, every Christian has the capacity to hear God. It is impossible to be a believer in Jesus without first hearing the voice of God. The Bible says this, I know this verse is later, but it says in John chapter 6, verse number 44, it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. As it's written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard, someone say heard. Heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. So in other words, if you have come to Jesus at one time or another, that is evidence you've heard the Father. Now, it might not have been a big booming voice saying, come to me. Maybe for you, it was a prompting in your heart where you're like, I just need to lift up my hand in this moment. Maybe for you, it was like just a few weeks where you felt compelled to get to a church. Maybe for you, there was a Christian friend that you knew and you didn't know why, but you were just drawn to them. You wanted to talk to them. I want to encourage you to realize this morning, that was the voice of the Father speaking to your heart, drawing you to himself. That if you are a believer in Jesus, whether you grew up in a Christian home or not, it is evidence that you have heard the voice of God. And many of us, not many of us, all of us, we start there, but God wants us to stay there. God doesn't just want us to hear his voice, say, Jesus, I give you my life, become a Christian, and then live our lives doing whatever we want on our way. He is the author and the finisher of your faith, or the perfecter. In other words, God doesn't just want you to start by hearing his voice. Hearing his voice needs to become a daily reality for you and I. The Bible says this in Psalm 84, verse 1 to 3. I love this passage of scripture. So I believe this is the psalmist David who writes, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. How many of you know this is a person who loves God's presence? With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Verse number 3, even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds a nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King, my God. I love that. That the sparrow finds a home and the swallow builds a nest at a place near your altar. Building a home and making a nest, it's just practical, mundane life. It's like you and I going to our 9-to-5. It's like you cleaning your car on a Tuesday night. It's like you fixing something at home. It's just normal life. It's you making dinner for your kids. It's you getting the ham ready for Wednesday, you know? It's normal, mundane Christianity. But the Bible says that even the swallow and the sparrow do it at a place near your altar. That I believe there's an invitation for us to learn to do the normal, mundane, everyday Christian life in close proximity to the presence of God. How do you do whatever he tells you to do? You live a life that's close enough to him that when he whispers, you hear it. That your whole life is within earshot of his voice. That when God speaks, you listen, you obey, and he gets all the glory. This is not a sermon about works and needing to do more this Christmas time. If anything, it's a sermon that encourages you to live close to Jesus this Christmas. Maybe for you, Christmas brings great anxiety. Maybe for you, you've got split families and you've got people that have mental health problems or addiction, and you know it's a tension when they come together and it causes fear in your heart. I want to encourage you, do Christmas close to God. Do Christmas Day in God's presence. I want to encourage you, do this week in God's presence. Do your next week close to God. And if God speaks to you, or better put, when he does, just resolve you'll do what he says. And you'll be amazed at the water that becomes wine in your life. Can you say amen today?
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.